And now we are going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors.
Hey everyone, this is Patrick with All Things Private Practice. I wanted to just give a huge shout out for The Receptionist for iPad. They've been a sponsor for this podcast for 4 years in a row, and I just want to say how grateful I am to their partnership and what they do for the not only therapist, but also medical community. Your time is valuable. Whether you're hyper-focused on admin tasks like billing or simply trying to make a cup of coffee between appointments or trying to use the bathroom, constant interruptions can derail your entire day. This episode and this year's podcast is sponsored by The Receptionist, a sign-in app company. The Receptionist for iPad is a HIPAA-ready digital check-in system that eliminates the need to walk back and forth from your office to the waiting room to see if your next appointment has arrived. Clients or patients can check in for their appointments, and you'll be immediately notified by text, email, or your preferred channel. Break free from the interruptions and make the most of your time, because it is valuable. Start a free 14-day trial of The Receptionist for iPad by going to thereceptionist.com/private practice. Make sure to start your trial with that link, and you'll also get your first month free if you decide to sign up. Hey everyone, welcome back to the All Things Private Practice podcast, joined today by Azizi Marshall, who is a licensed psychotherapist, media trainer, and award-winning entrepreneur, whose work has been featured in the New York Times, Forbes, NBC, ABC, Fox, and Success magazine. She is the founder of the Center for Creative Arts Therapy and the Content Studio Lab, and she has been recognized as a two-time Titan 100 honoree for her leadership and innovation. Ooh, that's an impressive start to this. With a unique background as a professional actor and director, Azizi blends psychology, creativity, and performance to help leaders, executives, and therapists alike build resilience, communicate with impact, and create safe, thriving workspaces. She is also an international keynote speaker and author known for transforming how professionals show up in high-stakes moments with confidence and clarity. Welcome back to the show, and reading your bio is impressive. You've done a lot of incredible things.
Thank you. It's so good to be back, too. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, of course. It's been a while. And the last time you were on here, you were talking about like painting rocks and getting therapy referrals because you left them all over your city and ending up on the news for it. So a lot has obviously changed since the last time you were here.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Oh my gosh, that takes me back. That was a lot of work, more than I had expected. But the payoff was definitely huge on that one.
Sounded like it inspired me, if I'm being honest. I remember leaving that conversation like, wow, I really need to get more creative about how we market for referrals. So we've been talking a lot on this podcast recently, myself included, about pivoting in our careers, of like figuring out our next creative venture, where we are putting our energy and how we are shifting gears. And you have a big one. You've taken on a big project. And I think I'd love to highlight that and talk a little bit about why and what that's been like for you. So can you share a little bit about what you've created and what that looks like right now?
Yeah, I have created, and it seems so random, but when people know a little bit more about me, they're like, oh, that makes total sense. So we transitioned into a video and podcast recording studio because a lot of the clients I was working with needed a place to come and practice those skills. And also I was recording in my basement, which is just, it's okay. But when you have children and picking up the toys and then setting the lights and you have to tear everything down before they get home, it was really frustrating. So to build a space now where people can come, photographers have been using the space, coaches who have their own online training programs or want to do a LinkedIn Live, they're all coming to the studio now to have that just that peace and calm and professional setting for the work that they're doing. And it has been so wonderful to see these businesses grow because of using this new space.
That's really cool. And I think having a collaborative communal space to create in, and the support and the coaching that you also offer in terms of how to speak, I think, like you said, like a badass. And so many of us maybe have wanted to step into speaking as a form of income or a new career path. Can you share a little bit about what that's like for you and what that's like in terms of like how you're supporting the people who are coming in and want that type of accountability?
Yeah, when I first started speaking as myself, I remember a class, it was a speech class, and I had to talk about different ways to do a sit-up or something like that. And I remember my voice was shaking so bad. Sure. And it surprised me because I was a professional actor. I've been a professional actor since I was 16 years old. It was the fact that I was standing up there in front of my classmates as myself. That's when I was like, oh, what is this? Why is my voice shaking? Why is my neck turning red? This is nothing I had ever experienced. And I realized that when I was standing just vulnerably as myself, that's when I started to have all these judgments and things that were happening in the moment. So learning from my own experience of how to transition that, how to stand in my own power as who I was, not as a character, but then taking a lot of the things I had learned as an actor and connecting that and being able to then spread that love and that knowledge to other people, that has been so helpful in the work that I do now. And so that transition into speaking as myself and being really nervous and using all those tools that I learned as an actor, but then also after getting my degree in community counseling to talk about the psychological effects that happen too when you're speaking, the performance anxiety, working with a lot of artists when I first started working as a therapist as well, just, you know, they can play the cello, no one's business in rehearsal, but then when it comes time for the performance, the nerves, the fingers start shaking, that affects how the instrument sounds. So all of those things come into play with just working with my clients in general.
I love that. And, you know, your experience as a professional actor or an actress has to be such an interesting dynamic in how you show up, not only as a coach and a speaker and a trainer, but as a therapist and a human, because I know my wife, who's not a professional actress, but has done quite a lot of acting in like local theater. If when I first started making content, she'd be like, do this or sit like this or say it like this. And me as like an autistic ADHD human with very flat affect a lot of the time, I'm like, I can't do the things that you're asking me to do. I can't just naturally do it. That's gotten easier over time. And, you know, but even with that being said, I've done a lot of international speaking. I've done a TEDx. I've done a lot of speaking in general. I still find myself nervous and shaky for the first couple of minutes. And for me, what is always helpful is telling some self-deprecating jokes about myself and getting the audience to laugh. And once they laugh, I'm like, okay, I know what I'm doing. So you mentioned before we started that I have this thing on my wall. It's a Ted Lasso quote that says, "Don't you dare settle for a fine," from Roy Kent. I'm curious, did you watch the show?
Oh, I love the show.
Okay. Yes. When you're describing your process, I'm thinking of Rebecca standing in the mirror and like accessing her power where she starts really low and gets really, really big and like steps into her true authentic self. And I love that scene, especially with the mirror, with her little kid image in the background too. So does any of that stuff come into play when you're like tapping into your acting roots about stepping into power and like, how do you get your clients more and more comfortable on stage?
Yeah, it definitely connects to any time that you have stood on stage or you've spoken in front of a class and somebody laughed or they snickered or they rolled their eyes. And I'm just even thinking of my own children right now in school and the experiences they've had and the nerves that they get, it stays with us. And so if we're not aware of that, if we're not reconnecting with that, if we're not basically going back and saying, it's okay, come with me and let's stand in our power together, like all of those pieces are so important to bring all the parts that felt like they were being judged and to let them know that they're okay. And there's many different steps, depending on the individual, that we would take to make them feel more confident in standing in front of somebody else in like little microbursts. And especially being a drama therapist too, we do a lot of acting things out before the event even happens. So they practice all these things before standing on the actual stage.
I love that. Yeah. Just being able to rehearse that and act it out and get comfortable with the uncomfortable, because even when you're acting it out or you're practicing, you are experiencing a lot of those jitters. Like when I did my TEDx, I practiced forever because I'm not the type of speaker who scripts things, and doing something off of a script felt so unnatural to me. I ended up I remember I was just like killing time in this Airbnb in Colorado Springs, and it was winter time this year, and it's dark and it's cold out, and I'm like doing this speech ad nauseum, and my Airbnb hosts were also weirdly therapists, so we got lunch together one day, and they're like, "Will you come and practice your TEDx on us in our living room?" That's pretty low stakes, you know. Like I'm like, "Yeah, okay, I can do that." I was so nervous, like even in that space, but it was unbelievably helpful. Because it helped me get into that rhythm of like, okay, I'm going to feel really anxious in this moment. When I'm talking about this specific thing, ooh, that is really uncomfortable. So it was really, really helpful to have that rehearsal time, and certainly not something that I'm used to.
And now we are going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors.
Hey everyone, this is Patrick from All Things Private Practice. I am inviting you to our third annual Doubt Yourself, Do It Anyway Summit. And guess what? This year, it is in the United States, in beautiful Portland, Maine, not Oregon. I know there's a lot of confusion around that. Portland, Maine is a beautiful coastal city in the Atlantic Ocean. It's a harbor city. There's a lot of history there. It's very funky, very creative, very safe, walkable, lots of diversity. Very progressive city in the middle of Maine. It reminds me a lot of Asheville, North Carolina, where I live. A lot of cool small businesses, and that's exactly why we wanted to have it there. It's going to be September 1st to the 3rd. And you are going to get 9 MBCC CEs. We have ASWB pending, and we'll make an announcement when that's finalized. 13 prolific industry leaders, really about doing things differently. The summit has always been about showing you that our skills are applicable in so many different ways and to motivate you to think bigger, to grow in this profession, to take more risks, to work through that self-doubt, and to really embrace the doubt yourself, do it anyway mentality. We're going to be talking about how to rewire your trauma histories so that they don't show up in your businesses. We're going to talk about neurodiversity affirming panels. We're going to have workshops on alternative income streams. We have so much involved in this event. So make sure to sign up. Spots are limited, September 1st to the 3rd in, again, beautiful Portland, Maine. And the link is in the show notes on my website and everywhere else that you follow my stuff. Doubt yourself, do it anyway, and I will see you in Maine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually have been using that a lot with the executives that we work with because they have to speak to the media about something catastrophic that happened in their organization, or they have to address all of their team members and say, hey, this is how we're moving forward after this big event.
Sure.
And we practice the heckling, the questions that are going to make them feel highly uncomfortable.
Sure.
And they can just kind of sit in that, and they're just like, oh, I knew you were going to ask that. So they can get out those automatic responses that they would have.
Yep.
Then have it come back as a more professional response when they have those moments actually happen.
Yeah, that's so great, because I think that just allows you to get a little more comfortable and build in those neural pathways too of like, ooh, I need to change how my brain is processing information and reacting. And it helps your nervous system regulate too. And that's a big part of this, because I know a lot of you listening want to get into speaking, and you get nervous speaking. Maybe it's virtual. Maybe it is in person. Maybe it's like pretty low stakes. But the reality is, I think when we're speaking and we're standing up there, all of that self-doubt, that perfectionism, that imposter syndrome comes over us of like, do I even know what I'm talking about? And that can really keep us frozen and keep us stuck and prevent us from pursuing some of the things that we'd like to be doing. So it sounds like a lot of what you're helping with is navigating through that process and just making people feel more comfortable and embracing who they are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And especially just us in the mental health field, I feel like when we're talking about what we're so passionate about and what we went to school for and studied and live and breathe, that we think everybody knows it too. And there have been so many times where I've done just a basic de-escalating angry customers workshop, and they will come up and say, oh my gosh, I never knew that you had to do this, or that breath was really helpful. And these are things that we use all day, every day. We talk sure. about all day, every day with our clients, but it's not new news to them.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think we forget that when we surround ourselves with people with similar training or backgrounds, that not everybody has that access to those skill sets or to that information or knowledge. And I think that's really important to notate. So I want to talk about pivoting. You own a group practice, is that correct? Or is that
The group practice has been closed.
The group practice is closed. Okay. So you have pivoted away from that. Are you still doing therapy at all?
I'm doing therapy, but in workplaces still. So that part of my business is still very much active.
Got it. What's that been like to kind of make a big shift and pivot in this stage of career?
A breath of fresh air. It's
sure.
And you know, and I'm very mindful of people who are in the thick of running group practices. It is not for the weak, and running your own company just in and of itself. And then adding on the nuances of staffing and training and turnover and insurance, the challenges are robust. And so I came to a point where, after looking at, again, it's a business, so I'm looking at my P&Ls, I'm having my husband looking at it, I'm having business associates look at it, my own coaches, my own mentors, and all of them were saying, you need to close. Here's what you keep open, because this is actually generating revenue. This is losing you money every single day.
Sure.
And that was the hardest thing to see and realize, and had to make a shift, just because I couldn't keep using all of these other businesses that were thriving to keep the other one alive.
Absolutely. I can really relate to that. and that's there's grief in that. There can be shame in that. There can be this reckoning with, like, sense of self and competency and capability of, like, do I just not know how to do this thing, or did I fail at this? It's just a hard thing to keep a group practice afloat that's profitable if you don't want to take advantage of your staff. It's a hard dynamic. If you prioritize people over profit, it's really a challenge. And so that's fascinating. So coming to terms with that and then closing that to pursue these other goals and ideas, breath of fresh air, though. It sounds like liberation.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I imagine your day-to-day looks very different now than when you're, like, in the thick of running a group practice and you have to be bogged down with the like behind-the-scenes stuff that a lot of people don't see.
Mm-hmm. In the process of making that shift, it was very interesting how the universe just opened wide up for me, where I was there were many things that I didn't have time to pursue because I was bogged down in the day-to-day of running the practice and keeping it afloat and fighting with insurance, all those pieces. And when I let that part go and was closing everything down, I started getting emails and messages and all these different things where I would never have had the time to even respond to them, let alone even notice they were coming in. And it was like the universe saying, thank you for making this decision and for moving forward, because now we can offer you these other things. And it sounds very woo-woo and hokey, but I truly believe that once you find that center, that true north of where you need to be going, and you realize that the other stuff is holding you back, that the world will show you this was the choice to make. It's
absolutely
just, it's the belief that that's going to happen is the hard
thing. It's scary to let go of something, and it's scary to pivot and evolve and change and lean into something that feels like a risk or new. And I think it's important to everyone listening, like, to remind you that if you're in that space, if you're thinking about that, you've probably encountered these emotions and these feelings before. Like, for me, leaving my secure community mental health job back in 2017 was horrifying to start a private practice. It was horrifying to start a group practice when I didn't know what I was not doing or doing well. It's horrifying to start a podcast, to launch retreats, coaching programs, like all the things. And every time I encounter that emotion, I have to sit with it and just say, like, okay, what is lighting me up in these moments? What am I feeling energetically pulled to? And trying to pay way more attention to that, because I know I can do a lot of things well, but if I don't enjoy them and they're not creating passion or excitement, I feel really bogged down. It feels like the walls are closing in and that things are really heavy. And that's definitely not where I do my best work.
Yeah, it prevents you from pursuing the passions that are actually going to make the most, the biggest waves, I like to say, where when you're bogged down, you can't, you're dog pedaling. You can't even, yeah. You're trying to just stay afloat. But when you have this freedom and you know that what you're doing is connected with your true north, with your passion, with what's in alignment to you, then you're swimming, you're making these waves and everybody's feeling them. And the world around you starts to shift. Even the people who are in my life now are, I would say, much more open to other possibilities just because of who now I'm connecting with and their stories. And I remember shifting from one-to-one therapy to then into the workplaces and getting a lot of pushback from my colleagues, like, oh, you can't do that. Oh, what are you doing? I was like, no, because insurance is preventing me from giving the best treatment to my clients. I'm going to take my treatment to them where they are so that that complete roadblock is gone. And sure. So that was a huge tidal wave. So instead of just working with one person per hour, I'm now working with entire companies and making a huger shift. So that's that was much more in alignment into the work that I wanted to do personally.
Yeah, that's an enormous amount of impact. And then that ripple effect into the community and how those people are now going to be in a better situation in their workplace. And that's going to create a healthier environment. It makes such a change. And I think it's hard sometimes for therapists, especially who don't have a lot of business knowledge or expertise, to say, like, what else can I do outside of the one-on-one therapy space? And I just want to highlight, like, so much. Your skills are so valuable and your training is so valuable. And it's probably more so needed now more than it ever has been, because the state of the world is pretty rough. And people are struggling. And I think it's important to think about all of the ways that you can create those waves and that impact and have that that touch point with a larger audience as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. The ones that I've been able to connect with are not ones that you would see outwardly struggling.
Right.
Especially a lot of my clients are executives, high-level, high-profile clients. And sure. You don't see them ever posting about the divorce they're going through, the mental health issues that their children are experiencing, and the caregiving. Like, they don't see any of that. And I think that's been another struggle with what the world is going through, is everybody sees this perfect image of people. Yeah. They don't see even what's underneath, just the first layer, let alone what's truly going on underneath.
100%. Yeah. Couldn't say it better myself. They don't see the burnout that people are going through and all of the impact that has mental health wise, substance use wise, on relationships, etc. So very well said. For those who are listening, if they want to work with you, if they want to come to your studio, if they want to do coaching, like, how do you approach that? How do they find you? Like, what's that look like?
Yeah, just head to my website, azizimarshall.com, and you will find all the information. There's a nice little robust contact page, so we can set up a time to connect and figure out how we can best work together.
I love that. Easy enough. That'll be in the show notes for everyone listening as well, so that you have access to everything Azizi mentioned and her new venture. Congratulations on all the growth and success, and I wish you nothing but the best. I'm definitely, like, rooting for you and cheering you on every time I see your posts on social media.
Thank you so much, Patrick. I appreciate that.
You're so welcome. And to everyone listening to the All Things Private Practice podcast, new episodes are out on Saturdays on all major platforms and YouTube. Like, download, subscribe, share, doubt yourself. Do it anyway. See you next week.